Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:19 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 12th. Well, we had a big day in stock markets today. Kicked off in China with the CSI 300 up in a dynamic manner, bouncing from the lower side of the range. That was in direct response to the determination by the People's Bank of China to try and arrest the advance of the renminbi, and the renminbi did pull back in a dynamic manner today as well. So we've certainly seen a peak of at least near-term significance for the renminbi, and we're likely to now see at least a pause, potentially some additional consolidation. But the most important thing it's done has been to significantly rally to break the sequence, or the dollar sequence, of higher reaction lows. So there is a lot of scope here for some consolidation in the short term, but the trend up for the dollar since 2018 has been broken. Then we also saw a significant move on the Nasdaq. It was up in a really very dynamic manner. It did pair the decline towards the end of the session, led higher by the world's largest company, Apple, and there is a lot of enthusiasm starting to evolve around the announcement this week, or the release this week, of its 5G phone. They're anticipating that there will be a surge in demand. There have been a lot of people who have been delaying purchases in advance of a 5G phone. 5G networks may not quite yet be ready, but it does suggest that the low around $100 is likely to hold, and that we're at least due, or at least this is a consolidation. We've had a meaningful pullback. The pullback is relatively similar sized to the one that we saw back at the beginning of the year. So it's quite likely that $100 now represents a psychological Rubicon for the share, and it's unlikely to trade below it in the absence of a really significant bear market. But the other point this today was that when we look at the better performers on the Nasdaq, then it was a significant number of Chinese shares. In fact, Pinduoduo pipped it for the best performer by the time we got to the close. And when we look at some of these big performers, the clear determination here is that they're among the biggest companies in the world. So Amazon was also up in a meaningful manner, nearly 5%. And there is, I think, there should at least be a lot of enthusiasm about this holiday season. That's particularly true for Amazon, because today people are starting to price in the impending sales boost from Prime Day, which will be this week. And then, of course, that's going to probably kick off the holiday season early, at least a month early for a lot of businesses. So that's an additional factor. So it did get up to the $3,500 level today. It didn't quite push on to new high ground, and we are a little overbought in the short term. There was, I think, another interesting development in the Nasdaq, and it was that volatility was positive today. Now, this was something else. This was something that we saw in August as well, that volatility actually increased while the stock market was increasing. And we had a meaningful move higher in the Nasdaq today, and yet volatility also rose. This is the kind of activity we haven't seen since the bubbly period between 1998 and 2000. So that bubbly period lasted 18 months. And there are some direct parallels between what's happening today and then. In the past, I've compared clear outperformance of the stay-at-home market with the Y2K phenomenon, because what it did was to very effectively pull forward sales from the future into the present. It was also occurring in 1998 and 1999 as a direct response to the Federal Reserve lowering interest rates, because there had been the long-term capital management problem, and that threatened the financial sector. So the financial sector was bailed out through cutting interest rates and making liquidity available. Well, we're obviously in a very liquid environment right now as well. So just because there aren't exact parallels, there are certainly enough of parallels in terms of the official monetary and fiscal response to the pandemic that have helped to support this really impressive advance in the stay-at-home market. Of course, that also translates over to the cloud computing sector. And it was also in positive territory in here as well, and up in really rather dynamic fashion. Well, when we then think about the wider market, its technology everywhere appears to be doing better. So the GlobalX China information technology sector also rebounded from the lower side of its range in here today. The best performing sector in China over the course of the last while has been the consumer discretionary sector. And that has been all because of Moutai. And that's been one of the most significant bull markets, but it's a drinks company. It doesn't really do anything else. It's one of the darlings of the Communist Party, which has been one of the reasons why investors have been so eager to own it. What we are starting to see now, though, is technology shares are starting to do better. And with Xi Jinping in Shenzhen, there's the at least the bet that technology is going to get additional assistance from the central government. There's going to be an effort to merge together the various political entities in Guangdong, whether that's Hong Kong, Macau, Shenzhen, or the wider Guangdong area, into the Greater Bay Area technology hub, and that's likely to benefit all companies in the area. Of course, Alibaba is based in Hangzhou, but that's really beside the point when it comes to the supports that are going to come through for the technology sector. So there's the potential here that there is going to be significant additional assets and leeway made available to the Chinese technology sector, and that is being reflected in the outlook for those shares. One of the reasons that Europe hasn't been firing and it didn't have the same kind of dynamic moves that either the USA did or China is because there's less waiting in the technology sector. What we do have is a lot of uncertainty. The number of cases continues to be reported with a sensational overtone in Europe. There is, I'm certainly on the record as thinking that that is completely hysterical, that if you perform hundreds of thousands of additional cases, the whole whole point is to find additional cases. There's no point panicking about it afterwards. One thing that we can see is that the majority of stock markets have been going sideways. The FTSE 100 remains with a downward bias. The European or the Euro Stoxx index has more of an upward bias. The euro continues to pause below 120. It was in negative territory today, not in a dynamic manner. And I think that we're still in a situation where investors are willing to bet that we're likely to have additional stimulative measures. The one thing that I find particularly interesting is that we know that historically, if the stock market rallies in the month before an election, then it tends to favor the incumbent. But the way it's being interpreted on this occasion is that polling data seems to be pointing towards a landslide victory for Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, and that investors are taking that as a positive development. I just find that interpretation rather difficult to swallow, because the Democrats have quite clearly, in plain English, said that they're going to raise corporate taxes, and they're going to raise taxes on individuals making more than $400,000 a year. that there will be additional regulations to damp down enthusiasm for fossil fuels. There will be an additional $2 trillion printed to produce a Green New Deal, which will favor renewables over the oil sector. Well, the oil price was down $1 in here today. The solar ETF was in negative territory. It's very overbought in the short term, so we are certainly due some pause and consolidation, and I think there's evidence that it is now underway. But it's been incredibly impressive on the upside, and it has ample room in which to consolidate and to still be in an overall bull market. If the stock market continues to rally, then perhaps it is a different type of signal than we are accustomed to getting from the stock market, and that the fresh interpretation may in fact be correct, because obviously there was some I think unfortunate, and in fact, in fairness, what I've continued to see, and I had a conversation yesterday about whether there is likely to be a civil war as a result of the contested election results. So the primary rationale behind the rebound in stocks has been based upon the potential that there will be a landslide victory and that will remove the potential for a contested election. Well, that's potentially possible. I do think, however, that that's also potentially reflective of hubris. When football teams or sports teams turn up to a game on the assumption that they're going to take home the trophy before they even play the match, then they usually find it to be a much more difficult prospect than they had been anticipating. And that kind of hubris before an election is rather dangerous. And then, particularly if you think you're going to win and your supporters are so enthused about the prospect of taking home the cup without having to play the game, and then when they lose, they tend to be upset. There's also the real phenomenon that if you live in a Democrat-controlled area of the USA and you put a Trump sign in your garden, then it is either going to be stolen or your home is going to be vandalized. And how does that translate into the potential for polling to be accurate? I find that to be a rather difficult nut to fit into that particular hole. So when we look at the stock market, there is also the potential that it is rallying because the outcome favors the incumbent and that there will not be additional tax hikes. So this is going to be a very interesting election event. And I think it is going to be a lot closer than anyone is really willing to countenance in the short term. And there will quite likely be a contested election. I think that that still represents the most likely scenario. Well, then when we look at the gold price, it was in negative territory in here today. But again, not in a dynamic manner. And it was up in a dynamic manner on Friday. And the most important thing it has done has been to break the sequence of lower rally highs. So I think that's a rather impressive move. And so far it has held the break of that sequence of lower rally highs. It is also more or less unwound two-thirds of its overextension relative to the trend mean. It continues to hold the $1,900 area, which coincides with the peak from all the way back in 2011. This doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation within an ongoing bull market. What I think is important to highlight is if we simply just concentrate on 10-year charts, we can see that gold broke out in 2019 and then it has rallied rather impressively. The next one to go was the gold miners ETF, and that briefly broke out at the beginning of this year, then collapsed and rebounded very quickly. Silver prices were also next to break out, and broke out in an emphatic fashion in the middle of this year to complete their base formation. The next portion of the precious metal sector to break out were the junior miners. So they've also broken out pretty much in tandem with the silver price. Then we've got the gold explorers, and they haven't broken out yet. So one thing that I think is particularly interesting is that we haven't had a major discovery of gold in at least 3 years. And the more important point is that the size of discoveries has been trending downwards since about 2006. At the same time, the gold exploration budgets today are still significantly above where they were in the decades before 2006. So companies are spending more and finding less. Well, that obviously is not a situation that can be can persist indefinitely. Either they're going to have to spend even more money to find significant gold resources, or they're going to have to deploy smarter, more technologically advanced methods to find it. But the reality is that it does suggest is that the gold miners, while they represent more of a leveraged play on gold and represent obviously more risk because you don't know what you've got until you actually drill it and dig it out of the ground, but the reality is that there's going to have to be investment in these sectors, and that for companies that own significant portions of land that abut significant existing mines, or those that can deliver technological solutions in the form of either satellite data or geophysics, those are the companies that will likely prosper in future. Because the major miners, if they want to stay major, then they have to replace their reserves. So we're at an interesting situation here. There is likely to be volatility, and the risk attached to the U.S. presidential election is likely to amplify as we get closer to November. And this assumption that there's going to be a landslide victory, I think that that is just something that would be very convenient from the perspective of polling and commentary, but I think the shy voters that are simply unwilling to talk about what their intentions are impossible to count. When we then think about what's going on in Europe, well, the big question that continues to ride around is Brexit and what that is going to mean for the UK. The pound was in positive territory today and back above the 130 area against the dollar. But when we look at it against the euro, then that's really where we can see the clearest outlook for what Brexit is going to look like. And it has popped back above the 110 area. Now, it's going to have to sustain a move above the trend mean in order to completely dispel the risk from Brexit and an unruly exit from the EU. These are short-term considerations. Personally, I don't think that there's any particular problem with the UK having a hard Brexit over the medium to long term, but there's no denying that there would be some inconvenience in the short term. If we see the euro push back above the trend mean, it would represent a clear conclusion from the market that the UK is going to remain closer to the EU than many people believe possible at present. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.